Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you here Tuesday morning. You survived Monday, and here we are for devotions, and it's just a real honor and a privilege just to gather with you this morning. When we woke up this morning, I Am was waiting on us. He's a God of the present, and His presence is our gift for sure that He gives to us. So grab your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3, and I got something that I love to talk about this morning. And it's always something that's passionate for me. It's become the work of my hands, even in my life, talking to people just about this topic. And so I'm excited to share it with you all this morning as well. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord." And not to men. It's such a deep and powerful verse for so few words that are there. It really speaks to whether or not we really believe the omnipresence of God, whether we really believe that He is everywhere with us at all times. Because as Paul's writing this to the church there in Colossae, he's saying, hey, wherever you're working, however you're working, whoever you're working with, make sure you know that this is not just for the people around you. It's not just for bosses and coworkers and for your family, although it is for those things, but do it as if you're working unto the Lord. And in this day and age, we have a very unique opportunity in the context of our work. And so I want to tell you a story. We had a speaker come to a conference that I was a part of last November. He's an author named John Acuff, and he tells a story. It's a short one, but he just says, look, he says, if I see you driving down the street in your truck as a plumber, it's all painted up and got the stickers on it that you're a plumber, he's like, and you have a giant ichthus fish on your plumber's truck. He said, unfortunately, experience has trained me to look at that and think, you're just a bad plumber. And that's really hard to hear. It's really hard to hear, and it hurts us as believers, as followers of Christ, to hear that experience. And this is a Christian man saying that in his experience, because we've all had experiences when someone has come and they have led in the business world in the context of us hiring someone to do something in our house or in our business. They've led with their faith first, and unfortunately, the quality and the earnestness and the honesty of their actions, it didn't live up to the expectation of what we have as a shared faith, or even the understanding of an unbeliever of what a Christian as a follower of Christ should be about. Again, 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That there's a call and a challenge there to us in the way that we do our work, in our diligence and our excellence and our desire to do it very, very well, as if we were doing it because the Lord was standing right next to us, that He was along with us, that He was in the room or at least in eyeshot of us. And it's why I said earlier that this verse really challenges whether we really believe the omnipresence of God, because the absolute truth and reality is that He is with us, and we're always in His vision. And you're always next to us. Think about even the context in Matthew when it says, you know, those who are weary and heavy laden, come and work alongside me. Come take upon my burden in the yoke. Be in the yoke with me. There's no more picture of something that's about work than a yoke, of two oxen being tied up and bound together very closely together, that they have to work together, right? They have to work together, be in that context and that proximity. So I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about some of this as it relates to just us being excellent in what we do, striving to be excellent in what we do. Now, look, we all blow it. I blow it. You blow it. Everyone in this room blows it. We all make mistakes, right? And thankfully, Jesus has told us that in Romans 8, chapter 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he is faithful and just and quick to forgive when we ask Him for forgiveness. And boy, nothing encourages me more than the absolute truth of Scripture that is. But this Scripture is true just as much as that one, and that we should be working as unto the Lord and not just as unto men, unto people who are around us. So when you think about someone who is excellent in their work, What's a word that you often think of? And in our culture, in our day, that really comes down to a word that says, oh, well, they're a professional, right? They're a professional. And they're a pro. It's even been shortened in that context. They're excellent in what they do. They've risen to the highest level of competency, right, and ability in whatever it is that they do, right? And you can be a professional in our society today in almost anything that you want, right? Whether it's the working with your hands, working with your mind, being a writer. Today, you can be a professional even at video games, right? And be out there working and being paid as someone in that level. Sorry, moms and dads, you can not let your kids hear that, right? Because every kid in the world wants to be a pro at a video game these days. But you can be a professional. But what's interesting to me about that word is that that's not the history of just being excellent. That's not really the history of that word. You want to have fun, go study the word, the history of the word professional, and you'll find secular dictionaries and secular places that define words struggle to admit the fact that this word profession, which is the root of professional, right, that it has its root in a faith-based context. That it was someone hoping to work in a way that would profess what they believed so clearly that everyone would see it around them. Because the root word of profession is to profess, which is to claim something that is very true in their lives, almost take a solemn oath unto it. And so if you think about the context here about this word professional, about being excellent, right? Dispelling the myth that if we had a big fish on our company vehicle, that people wouldn't just look at us and say, wow, they must be bad at what they do, sadly. That in the context of our culture, that we could turn that on its head, right? Have the opportunity to do. And I believe that's exactly what God has called us to do, right? So there's even a root then of, in the early part of this century, of this idea of the Protestant work ethic. That it was a way that we could show in how we would work, how we would carry ourselves in the context of the marketplace, the business place, right? And that was true whether or not your marketplace was to go far away and work, or whether it was to go in the shop that was connected to your house. But this work ethic, this idea that the work ethic that I have and the way I work is connected to what I believe about God. That there's not a separation there, right? That is 100% intertwined. And so the reality is to remind ourselves, and most people often, even in the church, can miss this, is that God created work. Right? What was the first job that you ever read about in the Bible? The first job that you ever read about in Scripture. Was it before the fall, or was it after sin came into the world, after the fall? Adam had a job from the Lord before sin ever entered the world, to go and tend and keep the garden, to nurture and protect the garden. That was his call. That was what he was given to do as a job by the Lord. So work predates sin. So when sin entered the world, right, and then the work of our hands was cursed, work wasn't the curse. It was just that our work was going to be difficult now. It'd be the sweat of the brow and thorns, and there'd be difficulties. Like everything there would be on the earth, it would be difficult in that context. But work itself is not the curse. And we have a culture today, a society, that in very many ways looks at work as always something to be avoided. Even the context of I'm just living for the weekend is one that says I'm thinking that work is something bad in my life, and I have to go and do something else to be actually have satisfaction and enjoyment, and how about just a deep sense of assignment from the Lord. So work was created by God. So if work was created by God, then it was holy. It was good, because when God created things, he stepped back and said it was good. And so that was a truth. That is true about work in itself outside of our own sinful flesh and the sin that entered the world. So the reality is that Scripture makes clear to us is that nothing is secular. Nothing is secular. The word secular didn't exist until about 600 or 700 years ago. And it literally was a word that was trying to define a way to create separation between things of faith, things in that day called religious, right, and other things in the world. Whether it was separating ideas or days of the week, right, or what you should talk about, this idea of secular was a made-up word just to do that. Because the Scripture is very clear to say there's no middle ground in the world. Scripture says you're either for us or you're against us, right? There's no neutral with the Lord. It's either honoring to him or it's dishonoring to him. It's why we're told we'll give an account of every idle word that comes out of our mouths one day before the Lord. C.S. Lewis has a great quote that says, "There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan." There's no middle ground. There's no neutral spot where you can just be, there's no Switzerland. Well, I'll just stand here and I'll neither please God nor make God mad, right? And I'll neither please the devil or make the devil angry, right? I'll just stay in this little spot that's neutral. And scripture and C.S. Lewis is expanding on that, saying that place doesn't exist, not only in geography, and it doesn't exist in time. No part of our day, no part of our week, no part of our month, no part of our lives. So if God created work and work is holy, we also know when we look at Romans 8:28-30, there's this part of this scripture in the end of there. It says, "Moreover, whom God predestined, he also called. And whom God called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified." I love the line of that progression of what God has done in our lives, but it's very clear to say God has called every one of us. We all have a calling as a believer given to us by the Lord, and that calling works its way out in our lives in different avenues, in different ways. The root word of calling in the Latin is a word called vocare. Vocare is a calling, right? Vocare, look it up. It's also a root word for the word, guess what? Vocation, which is a word for our work, the work of our hands that we would be doing. And so there in history is this alignment of saying that a work that we do is also a calling, right? It's vocare into our lives. In fact, when I talked about profession a little while ago, when you look at some of those old definitions, it might talk about that they were making a profession unto their calling, unto their vocare. And the truth is that vocare, that calling, that vocation doesn't lose its calling part of it if it's not having us to be as a vocational pastor, someone who works and derives their income of their provision from a ministry. If you are a plumber, if you're an engineer, if you're a secretary, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a teacher, whatever your vocation, your vocare is, it is also a calling that God has on your life in that moment, in the old bloom where you're planted mindset. So calling, vocare, vocation, we see the link there. Work is holy, God has created it. How about this one? There's a Hebrew word called avodah, avodah. And this Hebrew word has two words that go really in line with it. One of them is worship. There are worship of the Lord. But the kin to that is the word work as well. And it brings into this place, while we just worshiped in song with Ed as he led us in worship here on Tuesday morning, that was just as much worship as it is when we go and take care of our families, right? That is just as much worship when we go and mow the yard, right? Or when I say when my son mows the yard, right? That's the joy of having a son over 10 years old, right? Whatever we do with the work of our hands is an opportunity to worship the Lord in every aspect. We have, while folks, I am missing worshiping corporately with you in one room together, belting out loud, off key, right? Mistimed, right? All of that. I'm missing that so bad. That is only one small aspect of the nature of what our worship of God is. So this idea of avodah is our work and our worship pushed together, right? Work is holy. God created it. Calling and vocation are vocare together. Work and worship are together as our avodah in the Hebrew. And the great thing is why did God do that? Because work gives us access. Work gives us access to people. It gives us access to people. Most of you, if you out there, you run into sometimes as many people in the course of a week, right, at work or more than you do in any other aspect or part of your life. It gives us the access to more people than in any other time in your life. And so we have this opportunity that if we work as unto the Lord and not as unto men, that we have the opportunity to make an impact on people's lives that is incredibly profound. A few years ago, I was in Roanoke, Virginia at a men's prayer advance, and down there with about 700 men, just there to lean in and be encouraged in the Lord and spend time in prayer. And a man told a story about he crossed a pastor that year, and they were just talking about people in their church that really love to witness, to reach out to people with the gospel. And he said, "Let me tell you about the biggest soul winner that's in my church." And the man said, "Tell me." And he says, "He's not the most intelligent guy in my church. He doesn't own a business. He's not a person in the community that everybody looks to per se. But week after week, month after month, year after year, this man walks in the door with more people to come to my church and hear the gospel and respond to it than anybody else. And he works in a factory. And he's bold that everybody knows that he's a Christian, that Jesus is his Savior, that he was this way, he met Jesus, and now his life is totally different, and he's bound for heaven. But he doesn't have some huge platform about how he shares the gospel. This is what he does. When people will tease him in his workplace, very blue collar, a factory floor, they'll tease him about being a Christian. But every once in a while, someone will walk up and say, Why are you a Christian? What's this mean to you? Why are you so bold about wearing shirts with Jesus on it? And why are you so out there? Why are you this way, right?" And he will just look at them and he'll say, "You want to know what my faith is about?" He'll say, "Watch me work today. Watch me work." And he'd go out on the factory floor and he would kill it all day long. He'd give everything he had because he knew he wasn't working as unto men. He was working as unto the Lord. And people were watching. They were watching him. And it wasn't just one day, and it wasn't just one part of the shift. He had a calling on his life. He had a way of worshiping the Lord in how he worked, because he knew people were watching. But more importantly, he knew the Lord was watching. "Work as unto the Lord and not as unto men." And day after day, week after week, over time, he would wear people out at his work. He'd just wear them down because they'd watch him day after day, how hard he would work, how much care he had, how excellent he wanted to do, how he'd help them and not just do his own job. Right? But he would just take care of business and do it in a way that honored God in everything he did and everything he said. And finally, they would just give up. They'd just say, "Okay, I have to know how you do this day in and day out." He worked as unto the Lord and not as unto men. And so work is holy. Work gives us an opportunity to touch and meet and have relationship with people that your pastor is never going to meet. Many of them are never going to cross the threshold of your church, of our church. But it gives us an opportunity to minister and reach out and to love on them in a way that no one else may ever do it in all of history. Last time I did devotions, I shared three words from my friend Dave Holly, and then he shared them from someone else. But he said, "Right now in your life, in your work, wherever you are you undercover for the Lord? Are you under suspicion about the Lord? Or are you undeniable to people about your faith in Christ?" We have an opportunity to be undeniable. And when we do it, we have an opportunity to draw people in and make them ask. Right? I had a great grandfather that used to say, this phrase you've all heard, right? He would say, "You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." And then he'd pause and he'd stop and he'd look at you out of the corner of his eye and he'd say, "But you can feed him salt, son. You can feed him salt." In 1 Peter 3:15, I'll wrap up with this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart, set him as important, set him as critical to everything we do, set him apart in our hearts, and always be ready to give a defense, an answer, to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that lies within you, with meekness and with fear," or reverence in that way. Our lives are to go out there and see that our work is holy. It's a calling. It's a way we worship God. And to do it in such a way that we do it as under the Lord. And then to do it in a way that makes people ask. That they would ask, "Why were you different? Why didn't you respond like other people respond? Why didn't you do the things that everybody else does with your timesheet, with supplies, whatever it would be? And the great thing is that this doesn't just have to happen for those of us who love the work of our hands. His calling of us into this is sometimes right in the midst, when we really struggle with the work that we have at this moment. Because our challenge is we think it's just a job. We think it's just a job, and it's not. That whole picture changed when we accept, embrace, and get excited about the fact that this is a calling that God has on our lives. So I hope this is encouraging us today. I hope that you take away something from this, from Colossians 3:23, right, and from 1 Peter 3:15. And let's go out there when we're either in Zoom meetings or digital, or if you're essential and you're out working with your hands now, let's go out there and just say, have the opportunity to say, earn the opportunity to say to people, watch me work today. So let me pray. Jesus, thanks for this morning. Thanks, Lord, for these folks. Lord, I just pray you'd bless them and protect them. I pray you, Lord, would bless and protect their health. And Lord, I pray, and that of their families. Lord, I pray that you would bless and protect their provision that comes from you, God, and that of their families and their entire circles of influence, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just cry out to you, Lord, that, Lord, just cause this virus to go away, Lord. Let the clouds be rolled back, the skies split open wide, Jesus, and let your glory be seen, Lord, and it just be cleansing of the earth. And Lord, that we could come back together as churches and be corporately together. And wow, Lord, I look for revival to come when we come back into rooms together and just be able to worship out to you, Lord, in song in that part of our lives, in spirit and truth, Lord. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would catch the vision in the heart, a touch from you, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, to see that we have a calling, Lord. We have a way of worshiping, Lord, you in the midst of the work of our hands, and you've given it to us, Lord. There's no job that's an accident for any of us, Lord. There's no work of our hands that's an accident. Lord, help us to see it as holy and a calling of you, God. Help us to be faithful in the little things, Lord. And you said you'd make us faithful of a lot. So, Lord, I just bless your name. I thank you. No other name under heaven and earth than you, Jesus, that we're here today. And, Lord, as I always pray, anything that was of man in this devotion, let it fall away and be forgotten. But, Jesus, anything that's of your spirit, Father, anything of your spirit, anything of your heart, Lord, may we not be able to escape it. Bless these folks. Love them, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. Look forward to seeing you for our devotions on Wednesday morning.